Ladies and gentlemen, Tornado Tag Podcast. We are here. We'll just say this is 118 because the last episode was 117. I'll try to get this out as soon as I can. Something that you guys really enjoyed that we used to love doing.
Haven't done this in a while.
Have not done this in a while due to the pandemic. And also because we don't get to enjoy many shows as a fan, you know? So this is our car ride home episode. And if you are watching video, if it's a little shaky, nothing we can do about it. Like, car ride homes weren't even video before, so we're giving you something new to dwell on here, trying to see out the camera angle. Might not be the most flattering angles of either one of us, but what can you do? We're trying to give you a little bit of something. There's some daylight we can record in with some light, because I don't know how these car rides are going to go home once we get back to shows and they end later in the night.
Most wrestling shows happen at night, but as we record this, we are about 40 minutes away from SummerSlam, so yeah. Backbreakers Entertainment put on their show early in the day. 4 o'clock bell time, it was wrapped up a little before 7.
I think it was 6:50 on the dot it ended up.
Good timing.
Wow, our first time at Backbreakers Entertainment. Actually, our last car ride home we did was
GSW,
and we got to meet the owner of Backbreakers at GSW.
Hey, Justin Glory, we certainly did.
He said, you know, boys, when you should come check out a GSW show, and it took 2 years, but here we are.
Backbreakers, we should check out a Backbreakers show.
GSW. Oh, sorry. Check out a Backbreakers show, and it took 2 years, but here we are.
Yeah, and well worth the wait. It was a very fun time.
The Falcon's Nest in... somewhere Pennsylvania.
Somewhere north of Scranton.
Yeah. Easy drive. Literally, we just 81 almost the entire way. Super easy. About an hour and 30 minutes.
Roughly, yeah.
Yeah, we stopped and we got some Farlow's before we got there. So that was nice. Got to eat some nice food. I like these road trips, you know. We're definitely... Oh, boy. Here we go. we don't get to... Sorry, my AC is broken, so you might hear some clicking. Hopefully it goes away. You're going to hear some road noise. You're going to hear all that. It's just part of the territory at this point.
This is not a soundproof car. This is not an actual mobile studio.
And I try my best to give you guys the best quality I possibly can, but that's always not going to be the case. But here, we'll try it. We'll try our best here. But what was I going to say? Yeah, these car rides are really fun. Like, we got to drive to Philly together. We didn't do any... We should have probably done a car ride on the way to Philly.
Yeah.
To talk a little bit, just bullshit. But now that maybe we can't do car ride home episodes...
Car ride 2.
Car ride 2, or just, like, record stuff while we're driving, we just might have to be hot for a little bit, Brian.
That's fine.
but, yeah, so... What was the show called? Backbreakers what?
Summer Spectacular, he says, not knowing. I'm going to pull that up here.
Yeah. We didn't come very prepared. This was actually very last minute for us. We were supposed to go to a different show today and actually help with production, but it kind of fell through. So
Summer Showcase 4 in Mayfield, Pennsylvania. There we go.
Cool thing about this venue, you can buy a beer and drink some beers while you're watching the show. We got to drink some Jenny Cream Ales, which was delicious.
Jenny Light. They didn't have a cream ale.
Oh, yeah. Jenny and Jenny Light. We got to have both Jennies. Delicious. Very, very good beers. But let's get into the card here.
Yeah. So we kick off the card with a... I apologize. A little bit of distortion on, I think, my microphone. I think... Okay. Yeah. The wire was rubbing up against it. So we start off with an 8-man battle royal with the winner going on to face... Backbreakers champion Ken Andrews later in the night, and it gets down to a final three of Harzang, Aaron Roxas. I was going to say Rojas, but I believe it's Roxas, and your eventual winner, Mint Mike Mitchell.
Very good battle royal. Very fun.
Yeah.
The good thing about going to shows like this is you get to see names you've never seen before.
Yeah.
And a lot of these names I've never personally seen wrestle too much. But I got to hear them on the Great Moran and Friends podcast.
Okay.
So I seen Mike Mitchell a little at PPW. I've actually never seen Redbeard wrestle.
Right,
so I got to see him in interaction. Another cool thing Backbreakers does is kind of in the same vein as the Sanctuary. they shoot little vignettes and promos that they air on the screen before the matches start, which were fun.
Yeah, you get a little bit of a sense of the characters, a sense of the personalities.
Absolutely. And someone who's never been there before, it was really nice to see what we're dealing with.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Very good touch. And, yeah, it's just good production. Like, you, Backbreakers is first and foremost a wrestling school, so one of the things that really blows you away is how professionally everything is run, how crisp everything is, how good everything looks. It doesn't feel like a show that's being run by a wrestling school.
I will say this too. I know this, I don't know how, what the science is behind this, but that ring sounded good.
Yeah.
You know how sometimes a ring just sounds obnoxiously loud and then it kind of sounds like, I don't know, just it doesn't sound pleasant to hear someone bump on it. That sounded good. Like, it sounded like a good look. It's like, I don't know, it's the ring sounded good. I don't know how else to describe it. But yeah, it was nice.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Everything was tip-top as far as that goes. And so the Battle Royal kind of sets up a match for later in the night. And then we get to our first title match of the card, which was Squid Sterling defending the Cruiserweight title against Jay Flyer. Jay Flyer is like somebody I've seen on social media, never saw him wrestle.
I seen Jay at the AXW show.
WXW?
Okay. WXW, C4.
Okay.
When I went with Alex to that show, he wrestled there. Very talented. He goes by 450, so
Mr. 450,
He can definitely fly. Very good heel. He knows how to control a crowd, knows what he's doing in
Absolutely.
There. Very, very impressive. Got to see Squid, I believe, at a PPW show.
He was in the Rumble.
Yeah,
the
so PPW didn't really get to see him
pandemic.
Showcased. But
yeah,
we actually got to see him work tonight.
Yeah, it was good to see. And again, very good with working with the crowd. So much energy.
Because of the drum sticks, almost like a Budenhagen.
Yeah, he's drumming in the people's hands in the front row, just getting the crowd involved. And every match, the crowd work was kind of tip-top there. And this was a pretty one-sided match. Jay Flyer got the majority of until the very end when Squid Sterling's able to turn things around and score the pin after there was a missed 450, but Jay Flyer was able to land on his feet pretty much.
Yeah.
Which kept him going.
Yeah, great match. Very impressive by both of them, and that was the Cruiserweight Championship on the line, and still.
Yes, Squid retains.
Yeah.
As you're seeing, yes, we're getting quite a bit of shaky cam here.
Sorry if you're watching this video-wise.
This might be one that you want to check out on audio.
Yeah, this might be a one and done to see how we do on video, but we may just make this audio only. A little exclusive for the audio listeners. If you are watching video, and this is how you mostly take in the podcast, I really encourage you to maybe check it out also on the audio streams. I know our last episode we talked a little bit about it in our thank you to the listeners, but if you didn't check this one out and this is your first time, we were able to break the top 100 in Apple for wrestling podcasts in the United States, which is amazing. And once again, thank you guys so much. I'm not going to keep talking about it, but I definitely wanted to bring it up in case we got some new listeners. But definitely follow us. The link is below our link tree. You can follow our merch page. You can follow our sponsor, which is Abaddon Tattoo Studio. I don't have the write-up, but they are out of Pine Grove, Pennsylvania, and Pottsville. You can check them out. They support our podcast tremendously. And you can check out the rest of our amazing shows here on the IWEP Network. We'll get our quick ad read in here because we didn't do it at the top of the show. But yes, we are all these videos post on Twitch, on YouTube, which we are halfway away from 1,000. So we just hit like 515. So if you are watching, it really helps us to follow us on all social media, YouTube, Twitch. Just give us a follow. If you are watching, hit like, share, subscribe, whatever is available. Word of mouth has definitely gotten us in the top 100 on Apple because God knows we didn't pay for it. Because we much rather put my money into buying 500 t-shirts at every show I go to. I should probably take that Wilkes-Barre exit, I think.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm gonna definitely fuck up and take a wrong exit and not pay attention. But yeah, so if you guys can do that, that'd be super helpful. Just show us that love on other platforms, and we'll get to more plugs later on in the show, but let's get back to our Backbreaker show here.
Yeah, so we follow up this. One thing we should kind of preface everything with, because we haven't really done a show proper. We haven't really done a show proper since the last PPW show. But one thing that's kind of made the rounds news-wise that a lot of people probably know is that Unfortunately, there was an injury, a few injuries, but a big injury in the main event, which wound up being Afa Jr. and Mike Orlando. It was supposed to be them against the Dark Order.
Yes, a PPW.
5 and 10, but it wound up being broken up by, I don't know all the people in the match. What's the name of that stable?
Sins.
Sins, yeah.
Yes. Yes.
So I know that two of the people in Sins, the way we do a lot with PPW now, I don't really get to see most of the show. I am helping out backstage. I'm helping film things with Tom Mitchell. And so
I get to see all of it.
Yeah.
But I am, because I'm doing commentary, but I'm also so...
You're in commentary brain.
Yeah, I'm in commentary brain. So I don't really retain a lot after.
Right.
I'm already focused on what I have to say for the next match,
right,
if that makes any sense.
So, yeah, I don't have a whole record of that show, just because I literally saw one match in most of its entirety, and then small chunks of two or three other matches.
But if you want to check out that show, it is coming very soon to Fight TV.
Yes.
So you can check out PPW now on Fight TV, which is very exciting. That's their brand new partnership, and you can definitely go see that very soon.
I believe only $9.99.
Yes, exciting. Yeah,
worth it for, I would say definitely worth it for especially Davey Richardson, Deshaun Pratt, and then who was KC's opponent? I didn't see the match, but I heard a lot of good
Dunn.
Things. JT Dunn. I've heard very good
but
things
also,
about that match.
Christina Marie and Erica Lee just kicked the shit out of each other.
Yeah, hard hitting. If you think that, if you are somehow in 2021 thinking that women's wrestling is any less intense and impactful than men's wrestling, these two will prove you wrong.
Yeah.
They will show you the difference.
I will challenge you any day to step in between the ropes with those two women, and I guarantee you will need a dentist afterwards.
Yeah, and as far as that goes, we did have an incident in the main event where things happen. It's not ballet. It's not... wrestling is it might be entertainment, but it's still contact entertainment. It is a contact sport.
Absolutely.
And unfortunately, Eric Pinhat from Diamond City War Machines was a little dinged up, took an errant chair to the head, and had to get...
mostly to the back. But
to the back.
And it seemed as if the backrest of the chair came a little high.
Yeah.
Caught him in the, like, right, like, back of the head, top of the neck area.
Yes.
And he got a pretty nasty cut.
If you've ever been to PPW, the chairs they have for the front row, which is obviously the ones they're going to be grabbing, mm-hmm. They're plastic chairs, but they have a metal frame, and I think that's what caught them. And,
yeah. And I just wanted to be clear on that. It wasn't like a full head shot.
Yeah. It wasn't like a blatant, unprotected chair shot to the head. It was
aimed for the back, but came a little high.
Yeah, and... things happen
absolutely.
In wrestling. Hopefully, you know, he'll be okay, but he was taking every precaution. We bring this up because he was supposed to wrestle Matt Turner on this show, but very wisely, he kind of talked with the doctor there and pulled himself out, and then they made the decision that it would be best if he didn't go.
Yeah, and he actually just, like, that show got his staples removed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, But let that be an example. There's nothing to be ashamed of if you aren't, especially with a brain injury, and a concussion is a brain injury. If you aren't feeling right, it is smart to take your time.
I mean, it goes with any injury.
Yeah.
If you're doing anything, any sport, if you're hurt, man, just don't. You got nothing to prove. You know. You got to live with the rest of your life with that body. And You're not impressing us anymore if you go out there and wrestle with something broken and then you ruin the rest of your career. Trust me, as wrestling fans, we'd much rather see you for the next 15 years than watch you wrestle one match and that's the last one because you decided to be tough.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad Eric took the right choice there, and we get to see more of him in the future.
Absolutely. And we got to see him here, just not in the ring. He made it a point to not even get in the ring, even though he was a second or a third in some of these matches.
Stayed back as far as he possibly could, so just in case he got an itch.
Yeah,
he stayed back.
Well, yeah, So basically, what had happened, and we had Brad on our show probably like 2 years ago when this tournament happened.
I think Eric's the only member of these two tag teams we've never had on the show.
Yeah, I don't think
we have to change that.
Absolutely. But when we had Brad on, it was to set up or to plug a Backbreakers tag tournament that he had done, where the Diamond City War Machines won the Backbreakers tag team titles, and that had Team Blue and Gold in it. The Outfielders, who we've got, we didn't know them back then.
Yeah.
We didn't know Boomer and Molly. Now we do.
Oh, they were in that tournament?
They were in that tournament,
Holy shit.
I don't know if it was Boomer and Molly, or it might have been, I'm not sure about that now. I think it was Boomer and Molly, or it was when a very good professional wrestler was still Dasher. It may have been Dasher and Molly, but I think it was Boomer.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it was Boomer and Molly. But they were in that tournament. I believe the Stepdads were in that tournament, a few other teams we know locally. But it came down to Diamond City War Machines and Blue and Gold in the finals, and Diamond City War Machines got the win.
Yep.
And for Blue and Gold to get their title back, they had two singles matches tonight. It was supposed to be Eric Pinhat and Matt Turner, and then Brad DeMayo and Andy Hedder. And Blue and Gold had to run the table. They had to win both of them to get a title shot. So step number one, it was supposed to be Eric Pinhat and Matt Turner, but Eric Pinhat can't go. So they recruit a new member, a junior member of the Diamond City War Machines, somebody we know from the Sanctuary quite well.
I'm a huge fan of this guy.
As am I. Skylar Kincaid.
Who will 1,000% be on this podcast in the very near future. He's very, very supportive of us. We love him to death. Insanely talented
even
young
if,
man.
Even if Andy Hedder said some unkind things about him
today. Oh, my God, Andy, that was funny. That was so funny. So Skylar fills in for the injured Pinhat.
So Skylar and Matt Turner, and I think Matt, he's come back to kind of his roots lately. He was very, very happy with, I don't think I'm saying anything that he wouldn't want out there publicly. He was very, very emotional and motivated from CM Punk coming back. That is his, that's his sensei. That is he. That is his trainer.
Yeah.
That is somebody that Matt is, I think Matt has put this out publicly. Like,
I mean, he talked about it on our podcast.
Yeah. Not just somebody that has taught him lessons in wrestling, but in life, and somebody that he really does look up to in a big, big way. So even today, he came out in his ROH Dojo shirt, and he had a very hard hitting match. I saw on Facebook he put up something about how they were trained in the Japanese style. A lot of cardio, a lot of fundamentals. You wore black until you earned your colors, until Punk felt like you earned the ability to have your own look.
Yeah.
So he wrestled a very Japanese style here. He wrestled a lot of strikes. We had the Kawada kicks. You had the roaring elbow.
Working submissions.
Yeah, working submissions, some very hard-hitting strikes. Very much strong style.
Yep.
And he winds up getting the better of Skylar Kincaid for a bit, but the Wrath of Kincaid is attempted, but it's countered with the roaring elbow, and then Matt Turner is able to lock on a rear naked choke and get the win. So that keeps it going for Hedder. All he has to do is beat Brad DeMayo, and then we have Blue and Gold and the War Machines again. But first, our fourth match of the night was Aaron Rox. I want to keep wanting to say Rojas. Aaron Roxas against the Shining Manus Roberto Garcia. I believe they said was making his debut.
Yes.
And did not look like a brand new guy. So I don't know if it's just his Backbreakers debut or if this was his pro wrestling debut. Color me very impressed.
Yes.
A lot of aerial work here. And Aaron Roxas is just a guy I'm becoming a big fan of between this and the Sanctuary. So polished. Takes his time. Good look. Good gear. And he gets the win here with in a fast-paced match. After taking a lot of aerial moves from Garcia, he gets the win here, and that's somebody I would keep an eye on in the future.
Yeah, he's good, man. He's a really good kid. Every time I see him, he's always been like, obviously in street clothes, so you don't get to see with a shirt off. Very good physique. Works very hard in the ring. It's my second time now seeing him, and I'm impressed. Bought a T-shirt today.
Did you?
Yeah, I bought his T-shirt. I bought a Backbreaker shirt today, and I bought his shirt. So I got two shirts. Heidi, I apologize. but his shirt is very Kingdom Heart inspired.
Oh, nice, nice.
So I think when he hits his finisher, he goes, "Time to die."
Yes, he
does.
Which
I believe is a Kingdom Hearts thing. When, like, you know how your characters say something before you hit a move? I don't know what character it is. If I'm wrong, tell me.
I've honestly never played a Kingdom Hearts game.
But I believe it fits that MO. And I believe if that's part of his look, I'm sure he's a fan of that game.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
All I know is it's like Disney meets Final Fantasy.
Yes, very much so. And not for me. I tried. I could not. It's too much.
I kind of went out of order. I thought that match came later.
Yeah, yeah. I thought there was something else.
Yeah, I kind of scrolled down too much. That was actually the, I believe, the seventh match. Yeah. Yeah, that was the seventh of nine. Sorry, we went out of order here
a little bit. We'll go back. We'll rerun.
We will go back to Dyson Bennett against Harzang.
I really like this match.
I was very impressed with both guys, but even in the Battle Royal, I was super, super impressed with Harzang.
Yeah.
He has a good look, he got a good size, he can move good, he has a good presence in the ring. For a big guy, this was a fast-paced match, and just very competitive, very back and forth, and kind of a baby-faced match. Like, both guys were, it reminded me of the old Ring of Honor, shaking hands in the beginning, the code of honor type thing, and just some really good-looking moves, including that,
hot in here.
Including that spear in the end.
Woo, that spear.
Harzang hits a spear on Dyson Bennett, gets the 1-2-3, and another guy I would say, keep an eye out. This is somebody that can really, really be something in the future.
I feel like it's going to click regardless, so we're just going to put it on.
Throwing a little bit of AC on it. Yeah. We apologize if there's...
It's hot in here. It's a hot car. Babies die in hot cars, and we're big babies, so we don't want that to happen. Yeah, I'll tell you what, it was very good ring psychology, too.
There it is.
Yeah, there's our clicks. Very good ring psychology, too, with the high flyer versus the heavy hitter, where he was about to hit the big, quick, fat, flashy, off-the-rope roll-through and just met a big spear, and that was all there was to it. I was sitting next to commentary, and they even, like, jumped out of their skin with that spear, so it was impactful. Very good move. Very good. Good finish. Good move. Good match. Up to that point, I was like, I think that's my match of the night.
Yeah, yeah, that was, I think it would have been right there with you. And then we had two people we definitely know from the Sanctuary. One of them we know a little bit more than the other. We had Travis Dorian taking on the one, the only, Johnny Moran.
Travis Dorian is someone, you wanted a name that's been in my head for a while now, and someone who's been really impressive. Very, very nice guy. Someone you want to talk to at the Sanctuary. Like, just very great. He greets you every time you come in. Just super, super sweetheart. Got to share a beer with him during the match.
Yes. Yes, you did.
Love him a lot. Bought his shirt last time I was at Sanctuary.
Okay.
Yeah, like, love that guy. Versus our boy, the dark horse, Johnny Moran.
With?
Full heel with C.R. O'Malley.
Well, I'm not used to seeing as a heel.
Yeah.
C.R. is usually seen with Main Event and PPW, and he's
the versatility.
He's a babyface, yeah.
Versatility on that man. Great match. Good match.
They did a little more traditional wrestling as far as not trying to rush it, taking your time, slow down, make everything mean something. Mm-hmm. More like we said, a lot of these people are students. This is definitely feels like a more veteran match. And I don't know Dorian's background, but I know Johnny's a vet, and it shows. Like Johnny was really, really, really. Doing the chicken shit heel to perfection here. He tries to rush Dorian outside in the beginning of the match, and Dorian just no-sells it, and Johnny apologizes profusely.
It might be a weird question to ask, but I don't think it's super weird in the context of professional wrestling, because all we do is judge looks and judge bodies and judge weird things that normal men wouldn't judge on each other. But I said this to Johnny, but I'm going to run it by you here live. Well, not really live, but on the podcast. What do you feel about clean-shaven... all through, like facial hair, chest hair on Johnny Moran, or the little bit of the stubble?
I never really put a lot of thought into it. I think, like, the thing you notice with Johnny, especially if you know him from, like, PPW a few years ago, is just the work that guy has put in to really... And I know he's done bodybuilding before, but he is cut right now.
Yeah.
Like, the picture, they had, like, the little screen with, like, they were showing videos on, and the picture they have for Johnny is the older one. And
looks like a different human.
And yeah, he's still in good shape. Like I'm not, who am I to talk about anybody, but the way he has really kicked it into another level and is so camera ready, TV ready. Like I made the joke to you, because after you shared a beer with Travis Dorian, he said
Johnny wants some.
He said Johnny wants some, and you spit a little bit in Johnny's face, and I said that's the most carbs Moran has had in months.
Yeah. I tried to get a beer with Johnny after a show once, and he's like, no, man, I got to wrestle tomorrow.
Yeah, no, he's really putting it.
But anyway, keep the stubble facial hair and the little bit of chest hair. I think it looks good. I think it's a good look. Anyway.
Yeah, whatever Johnny wants to do. Johnny.
No, you don't have a choice, Johnny. Do what I say.
So, yeah, Dorian's getting most of this match, and it looks like he's well on his way to a victory, but Ciara O'Malley gets involved. He's distracting the referee. He throws the cane in. Johnny Moran's cane. Well, he has a cane that he's walking around with. And was Carden the ref in that match? Or was
yes.
it somebody? Okay, I thought so. Jeff Carden. If you know PPW, you know Jeff Carden. He sees the cane, and there's a little bit of a tug of war, and the handle of the cane pops off. And
In Johnny's hand.
Yeah, Carden pulls away the cane itself and
turns to discard it.
Yeah, discards the cane, and Johnny has the handle, and then Travis Dorian picks him up for a back suplex, and boom, takes the handle of the cane right to the head, goes down 1, 2, 3. That sneaky Johnny Moran gets the win.
So in this match, in this spot, I guess the first time really actually talking about it. I thought they were fucking it up. I thought they're like, man, the timing's way off on this. Because I thought CR was going to distract Travis, and Travis was going to, he was going to slide the cane, and Travis would then get hit with the cane. But then, like, it took forever, and then Johnny stood up and he had the cane in his hand. Jeff took a spin kick, like, where he held him in, like, an airplane style, mm-hmm. and got hit in the face. Nothing's happening. No one's getting hit with anything. The weapon has been inserted into the match. Jeff looks and is like, all right, I have to do my job as a ref. I can't just stand here and watch this
happen. Yeah.
So he goes to pull the cane out, and I'm thinking, oh, they just kind of botched their spot here. And when he pulls the cane, the handle's not attached. And I immediately was like, they fucking nailed it.
Yes, they
like,
did.
I'm not, like, I would say I'm a smart fan,
mm-hmm.
and they got me. I it looked as if it was intentional, like it was a botch. Right. But it was intentionally done that way. So kudos to everyone involved, because that was a great spot.
Yeah, very creative, very inventive finish. Lots of fun. And then
Johnny stuffed it down the front of his pants.
Yeah.
So never grab that cane.
I don't know if I ever want to grab that cane again. If I haven't, definitely grabbing it from the base. Now that cane is used by...
You're gonna grab Johnny from the base?
No.
Okay.
No. I know that cane is used a lot by one Billy Walker, so I hope it gets a little wipe down before.
I think Johnny stuffed it down there twice, and then CR stuffed it down the front of his. There's just a lot going on with that. That horse has seen some things.
It sure has. So then that was the last match before the
intermission,
and then right after the intermission, we do have Brad DeMayo against Andy Hedder for the second leg of this. A lot of people involved outside. You have Eric Pinhat, but he kept his distance. He was standing by the entrance.
He actually kind of got kicked off for doing nothing.
Well, as he said later, I was talking to him. He's like, I didn't do anything.
Watch out, people on shoulder ahead.
Awesome. Glad that got in there.
Yeah. He didn't do anything. He just told Skyler to do things.
Yeah.
So he was kind of directing traffic. He was the mastermind here. Because Skyler Kincaid's out, Eric Pinhat is out, and Matt Turner is out for in Andy Hedder's corner. Because this is it. There's a lot riding on this match. If Andy can get the win here, then the Team Blue and Gold gets a tag title shot. And very fun match. Andy always pushes the pace. Andy always working character into everything he does. And a lot of the outside stuff happens. And like we said, Pinhat did kind of get in trouble along with everybody else because Brad distracts the referee and Skyler's choking Andy in the corner. Matt Turner lets the referee know, like, hey, this is going on. And the referee ejects everybody. Like, Matt didn't do anything. He just pointed something out.
Well, Matt kind of came around the corner and started almost like a fist fight.
Yeah.
So they almost started fighting.
Yeah, we almost had a round two between Matt Turner and Skyler Kincaid. So they kick everybody out, including Pinhat,
yep.
who's nowhere near the ring. But the Diamond City War Machines with new member Skyler Kincaid do come out a little bit later. And Skyler hands Brad DeMayo a pair of brass knuckles. And he doesn't get a chance to use them because Andy kind of splits the uprights and kicks Brad below the belt.
Like they the Eddie Murphy, was it Raw?
Yeah, he kicked him in the ding-ding.
Kicked him in the ding-ding.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
And that is a disqualification. That is something you are not allowed to do in professional wrestling. So it's a DQ. That means no title shot for Team Blue and Gold. Brad DeMaio picks up the win by disqualification. And Matt Turner is just saying, you know, you don't have to do that.
You know better than that.
You know better than
that.
You played in their hands. And Andy doesn't want to hear it. He shoves them. And again, Matt Turner is just trying to be the voice of reason. He's saying, you know, we've lost before. We can come back from this. We can work our way back to a shot. And we just need to refocus and be better, rise above. And they shake hands, and Andy Hedder pulls him right into the Kryptonite Crunch.
9-9.
The mega powers have exploded. Team Blue and Gold is
I think Andy was just trying to carry him out, like in celebration, and dropped him.
He Kryptonite Crunched himself, is what you're saying.
Like
Marty Jannetty dove through that window.
To get away from Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
I think Andy brought him in and was like, you know what? I love you. I'm going to carry you out. And then Matt, they slipped together.
Yeah.
And it looked like a Kryptonite Crunch.
And then he just so happened to yell, I don't need you.
At that point, you have to just go away.
And then he just kicked dirt, imaginary dirt on him. Yeah, at that point, you might as well just roll with it.
You're just like, you know what? I slipped. But now we're here.
Yeah. This happened.
So the end of Blue and Gold? Question mark.
It certainly seems like it.
It does not look good for the future of Team Blue and Gold.
And such an emotional moment because afterwards Matt is at ringside and Peter DeLong even had to come over. His old friend Peter DeLong on commentary came over to kind of just console him a little bit. And there's a little kid in the crowd too that came over.
Yeah. So Matt gave, in the first match, Matt gave a kid his armband. He always does that. He gives away one of his armbands. And the kid, even during the match when he was helping ringside, he would bring up his toy and, like, show Matt his toy and show Matt his armband. And he kept, like, coming up during the match. And then at the very, very end, the same kid came up to Matt and it was like, are you okay, bud? Gave him the old, gave the old check on, and kind of crowd popped a little bit for that. But, Andy Hedder. That dastardly Andy Hedder.
Villainy from Andy Hedder.
Turned on Team Blue and Gold. So
maybe he takes that villainy to Outbreak Wrestling. Look, we tried to infamously bribe a referee before the last Outbreak show.
Did not work out for us.
Well, they switched the referee on us last minute. They were on to us.
They knew us. They knew we were on something.
All I'm saying is Outbreak Wrestling coming up. Andy Hedder versus Ian Bush for the Outbreak title. That referee is not the most ethical referee in the history of the world. Earl Hebner is going to be refereeing that match.
He'll take a bribe.
That man can be bought. That man is not above doing what needs to be done for the right thing.
How much money do you have? Because I can give him like $20 in a Tornado Tag T-shirt.
Yeah. I think I have maybe 15 in a Murder My Dude pin.
All right, cool. I think that should be enough.
Earl, it's the offer's out there, Earl.
We also got blamed for something. Let me go Outbreak a little thing. Ian Bush legit had someone try to break into his house. And the guy who broke into his house, I'm mutual friends with on Facebook because we went to high school together. I never really talked to the kid too much, but like we're Facebook friends. And Ian goes, oh, I see. You're sending a goon to my house steal the title. Look, we'll go to any depth, Ian. We'll get that belt eventually. It'll come to the podcast table.
We got it. We got Hebner on our side.
Even if I have to bribe a unfortunate drug user in Monty City to come to your house.
You never know when we're going to strike.
Yeah, Tornado Tag. We're making a heel turn here.
So then after that was the Aaron Roxas and Roberto Garcia match.
Yeah.
And then we have our semi-main event of the evening. Personally, I think maybe my match of the night for the Backbreakers title.
Very good match.
Mike Mitchell, the winner of the Battle Royal, Mint Mike Mitchell, M3, challenging reigning Backbreakers champion Ken Andrews. Big back and forth match. Ken Andrews, much like Johnny Moran, just the complete chicken shit heel, to the point where he's going to take his count out. He's going to be like, well, title can only change hands on pinfall or submission. I'm taking my championship. I am leaving. I bid you adieu. And a good chunk of the locker room emptied out.
For everybody who was in the Battle Royal.
Yes, everybody in the Battle Royal. Good point. They all come out and make it pretty much an impromptu lumberjack match. And shortly after that, we get a new champion, Mike Mitchell, in a hard-fought match as the new Backbreakers champion.
Exciting. Mike Mitchell's a good guy. Boy, does he know how to work a crowd and work a camera.
He certainly does.
So talented. Someone who I've seen a little work, but not to the extent I've seen tonight. Very, very talented. And got a very, once again, him and Redbeard, if you want to listen to some good podcasts, check out Moran and Friends. They do full. Both of them do interviews. They're very entertaining people. And it was nice to finally meet them in person.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And then with our main event of the evening. Oh, by the way, also, afterward, a guy in a hoodie and a mask, face mask, comes in.
I don't know the backstory to this, so I can't really speak too much on it. But
yeah, former Backbreakers champion Rex Turner was mad that he wasn't even invited to the show. So he came in and he took out the champ.
Yep.
And then our main event, the special attraction of the evening, our buddy Kit Raff with Coach Sean.
Coach Sean is a national treasure.
Oh, he's great.
He
was in the Battle Royal, too.
He came out to the Battle Royal and said he's taking the spot, and it didn't work out too well for him. Let's get back to the main event.
He stretched out Kit's jacket a little bit, and he got eliminated immediately.
Yep.
Kit is against the former leader of the Brood, Gangrel.
The internet had I keep going. I'm so sorry. It looks unprofessional. Sorry, Jack.
I'm not yawning this guy.
Yeah. This night, waking up early is not easy when you work nights. Anyway, what was I saying? Oh, the internet was buzzing because Edge used the Brood music and Bloodbath Seth
Brood
Rollins.
Bath.
The Brood Bath.
And, it's not blood.
Yeah, and it was very dark blood, very coagulated. Yeah. But yeah, I figured it was going to click anyway, so I might at least have air.
Yeah,
you know?
Why not?
Yeah, the internet was like, what if Gangrel shows up at SummerSlam? It's not going to happen.
No, he's in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, it's not happening.
Unless he has a teleporter.
Yes, or he is a legit vampire and he can get there very quickly.
He can
quickly.
Turn into a bat and fly to Vegas, and he still won't get there in time.
What were your thoughts on Gangrel? Because here's the thing. When it came to work rate, growing up, nothing sticks out for me for Gangrel.
No, he never was like that standout guy, but...
To me, I almost forgot he wrestled because I always seen him as the manager.
Yeah, he was usually... Bell to bell, he was very much in the shadow of Edge and Christian.
Yes. So, even growing up, like, playing him in the video game, I loved picking him. I didn't know too much. Like, I can't really... And this is not a shot or saying anything negative about the guy. I just never was like... I always was a drawn to him for the character. If you didn't spit water out like the blood in the beginning, which we got you got a great photo.
I did, yes.
We will share that to the Instagram page. He doesn't stand out to me as a performer. But when he kind of resurged after pandemic and he was working these indie shows, and a lot of people were like, yo, he's putting on some good matches.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, Gangrel. And they're like, yeah, he's killing it on the indie scene. We didn't get a chance to see him at PPW, but it was a six-man, and we all know sometimes a name comes in, does a six-man, and you're not going to get the most out of them.
Right.
They're going to come in, play do the greatest hits, and get out.
Pretty much, yeah.
Not here tonight. Gangrel put a show on.
He certainly did. The crowd work was on point, doing the Weeble Rock You Beat with a stomp, stomp, clap.
Yeah.
And
took some bumps.
A flat back bump on the floor. There were no mats on these floors. It was a hardwood floor, and he just went down on his back in the floor.
Yeah. I was really impressed with Gangrel.
Yeah.
I literally would watch Gangrel on TV tomorrow.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Russian leg sweep with a float over. Obviously, he's in there with Kit. Kit's no slouch.
That was where I was going next.
Yeah.
As much as Gangrel looked amazing, Kit killed it. And we're not just saying that because he's our buddy, and I love the guy to death, but Kit is a performer. He sold it. He was in the ring. He did everything as perfect as what that match was supposed to be, Kit didn't have a slip-up.
Yeah.
It was the perfect match. Like, it wasn't a five-star Tokyo Dome.
Right.
But for what that match was supposed to be and mm-hmm. probably what they planned out, it was an A+.
Absolutely. And then, not the best night for Coach. Coach gets up on the apron to get involved, and he gets bit. He may be a vampire now.
I'm going to keep my eye on Coach.
He may be, yeah, I don't,
yeah.
I'm going to wear a garlic necklace. Next time I see him, probably at the Sanctuary, I'm going to have a garlic necklace just to be safe.
I wonder if he's going to be okay in the Sanctuary. There's a lot of
crosses and stuff, Jesus
references. Let's see how he
goes. That's going to be tricky.
Something to keep an eye on. Yeah. What if he comes in with sunglasses on?
That would be great.
I told him backstage, I said, if you would have popped up with fake vampire teeth,
that would have been amazing.
Like you've been converted, I would have pissed myself laughing. Yeah, Coach is, once again, he played it perfectly to the outside too. Just like he wanted to interfere, but he was legit afraid. And
yes,
it was so good, so good.
Yeah, and but the bite kind of backfires on Gangrel because as he's biting Coach, Kit Raff gets the roll up, grabs a handful of tights, and gets the 1-2-3 for the win.
Kitty the Vampire Slayer.
That's right.
Even though he didn't think he went by Kitty, I think he went by Kit.
Kitsy or something.
Kitsy. He made it sound a lot cooler than just Kitty the Vampire Slayer. But I like Kitty the Vampire Slayer better. So that's what I'm going with.
And good on Gangrel. Like, so many of these people that come in and be like, yeah, I'm not losing.
Dude, he put a match on.
He took a
15-minute match.
Yeah, I mean, he got his heat back. He got the pin on Kit afterward.
Yeah.
He got the implant DDT.
The implant, yep.
Send the fans home happy.
Yeah.
But yeah, hell of a match. You don't have a high expectation when there's a guy coming in who, I don't know how old Gangrel is, but I can't imagine he's probably late 40s or old.
He's a vampire.
He's 5,000 years old.
Yep. Look great.
Yeah, looks great for his age. It's I always say he looks like the gothic Kurt Hennig. Mr. Perfect.
I will say this. A lot of times when you see, you know, your buddy's going to work a name. Like I said, you go out there, you're going to take an ass whooping, and you're gonna be the victim of the greatest hits. Kit got to work tonight.
Yeah.
Kit got to work tonight. And, I mean, so far us being together, it might be my favorite, like, someone we know working a name match.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, no.
Andy Goldberg?
No, I mean, that's fun, but Christina Marie, Mercedes Martinez.
Oh, okay. I didn't see that match.
That for me, that's still really up there. But this was a fantastic match.
It was very fun.
Yeah. Christina's also wrestling Mercedes Martinez, who can literally be the face of a women's division anywhere in the world. And Gangrel is up there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So for what it was, Kit, if you're listening, unbelievable. Kit and Coach, Gangrel. Killer job.
Gangrel, if you're listening, I'm going to be very surprised.
Yeah, Gangrel, if you're listening, come on the show. That'd be great. I'd love to talk to you.
We'll plug his show, too.
He has a podcast?
Fanging and Banging, yeah.
He does. Yeah. I remember that now. I don't know. Do you think we were ranked higher at one point?
I think we were, yes.
Oh, Gangrel, come on. Get on here. We were ranked higher for you.
We'll give you the rub.
For 1 week, probably. we'll give you the rub. Oh, my God. Yeah, that's awesome.
So, yeah, all in all, a very fun show. It moved quickly. The pacing was great. Every match did something a little bit different. And if you are in Northeast Pennsylvania, way up in Northeast Pennsylvania, just north of Scranton, and you see Backbreakers is running a show, definitely check them out.
And if you're also looking to
become
get in the business, you want to be a ref, you want to be a manager, you want to be a wrestler, you want to do anything, you want to be a cameraman, like hit up Backbreakers. They're somewhere where you can go learn and go train. They do a great job for what it was tonight. I thoroughly enjoyed myself. I thought it was a very fun show, and as long as we're not booked, man, that's definitely on my list to go and watch more shows.
Yeah, we have breaking news here as we're recording this.
SummerSlam stuff?
No, on Wrestling Observer Radio, Dave Meltzer is reporting that AEW is strongly expected to be signing Bray Wyatt.
There it is.
Bray Wyatt likely headed to AEW.
And, well, there is a photo floating around that we posted on our website. So if you want to follow us, head out on Facebook, Tornado Tag Podcast, or the Tornado Tag Community page. We brought back heavy hitter, analyst or journalist Yaz to the team, and he's been making some great posts, finding some great stuff online. It's nothing we're breaking, it's just stuff we're finding and recycling and kind of giving our own little take on certain things. He's doing a fantastic job. But one of the things we did post was Bray Wyatt was supposedly spotted in the arena up in the nosebleed sections watching the show.
Mm-hmm. And just so you know, with Backbreakers, it is Backbreakers ENT is their Facebook page. Yes. Instagram is Backbreakers Entertainment.
Yep.
So you can find them there too.
So what are you going with match tonight? You're going with Mike Mitchell?
The Gangrel match was super fun.
That's what I'm going with.
Yeah, just to be different, I'm going to do Mike Mitchell.
I'm not upset about the pick, but I'm going to go Kit Gangrel. That's the reason I wanted to go to the show in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ken Andrews, Mike Mitchell would be mine.
Yeah. And
but not a bad match on the entire show.
Not a bad match at all. Everyone did a great job. Like I said, if you are listening and if Backbreaker shares this or reposts it, anyone on the roster, man, we'd love to have you on as a guest. Give us time. There's a lot of people who want to come on, and we only do one day a week. So just be patient so we can cycle people through. If we don't talk about another show for a minute and we just have guests on for a couple months, I'm cool with it.
Yeah.
But we have one more week where the show will air on a Friday. And then pretty much starting next month.
Yeah, starting in September.
Starting in September, the show will move to, I'm thinking 8 p.m. Thursday night.
Okay.
So I think we're going to start around 8 p.m. That don't hold me to that. It might be 8 or 9. We're still debating on how we're going to do that. But it's going to move. But the show is going to Thursday nights. And the reason for that is a lot of you really want more interviews and you want to hear us talk about that kind of stuff. And we're going to move the show to Thursdays and try to free up those weekends because Sanctuary is going to start running shows on Fridays.
Right.
And I really want Andy to get some bookings there. And if he's working with us, and I don't want to make him have to choose because he's 100% going to go wrestle.
Yeah,
that's
of course.
His passion. That's his thing. Yeah. That's his thing. And we'd like to go support him. So we're going to try to free up those nights on those Fridays. And even the nights that they're not running, there's some stuff I want to go support people. I have friends who do stand-up comedy. I'd love to go see their open mics because, they're trying. They're doing a great job. And it's fun. They're building a little scene in the area.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of fun stuff. Culture to Culture might be coming back soon. So open up those Friday nights again so we can go enjoy ourselves. I think bands, if we get back to normal, we can go see some bands. But you get your plug out. What do we got to talk? What do you want to plug?
ProjectHumanoid.com is always going to be my plug. Murder My Dude. We did take a week off this week. Just travel, and I was worn out. And I've had a very busy couple of weeks here, but we're going to be back to it this Sunday, new episode coming out. And, yeah, just check out ProjectHumanoid.com.
What's the topic?
We're going back to fictional murder. We're going to be covering Dexter, because Dexter will be coming back. The show, the book series, a little bit of everything.
A little spoiler, who's your favorite killer in the series?
On the TV show, it was... this is the obvious pick, but John Lithgow, the Trinity Killer.
Yes, Trinity and Doomsday were my two favorite. Lithgow was hard to beat, though.
My seasons were 1, 2, and 4 were my favorites. The Ice Truck Killer, Lila in the second season, and then Trinity in the fourth.
Yep, great show. I'm glad it's coming back because we got a pretty bad ending.
I had already checked out. I'd already checked out by then.
I liked the show still up until that. Like, I was hooked all the way until the very, very last 15 minutes of the show.
Yeah.
I was bummed.
That was me with the show How I Met Your Mother.
Really?
Yeah.
But yeah, ProjectHumanoid.com. They go follow them on all social media. Murder My Dude, Pedantic. They have t-shirts. Go support them. Buy some merchandise. The E3 comic episode was fantastic. You guys did a great job on that. And there was a two-parter, so you can listen to the history of E3 comics.
EC Comics.
EC Comics. Not E3.
That's, E3 is a convention, yeah.
And EC3.
Yes, he's a wrestler.
Yeah. We're all in the same ballpark. Or he's also a bass player. Guitar player. Eddie Collins III.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. But yeah, the EC Comics, right?
Yes.
And then the two-part episode was the
Brooklyn Thrill Killers.
Brooklyn Thrill Killers, which were inspired by supposedly comic books.
Yeah, that's what they would always say.
Yeah. ruin it for everybody. Say that we got the idea to kill people because we watch TV, which annoys me. Yeah, go check them out. Also, check out the IWEP Network. We are coming back better than ever. Like I said, one more week of nights, and then I start days. Give me a little bit to kind of get my bearings. We need to get people on board. I know the shows are being worked right now when it comes to topics and prep, but what we're going to do, it won't be the first week of the month, but we will get it as soon as possible. We are going to bring back Not Cool in High School podcast and Truth Behind Illusion, and they will be rotating bi-weekly on Tuesdays. Those shows will probably also be starting around 7 to 8 o'clock at night. I'm hoping 7 o'clock so I can get the show done, eat, maybe work out, and then go to bed at a reasonable time anymore. It's going to be really nice to go to bed by before 9:30, 10 o'clock. So we're going to start those shows a little earlier. You can always check out the amazing shows every Monday. Welcome back. So on the network, you can see Tuesday will be bi-weekly between Truth Behind Illusion and Not Cool in High School. We have Stoned and Nerdy. We have Hyreth in Other Words. We have Tornado Tag on Thursdays. We have Banging Beers podcast on Sundays. And then you know the deal with interviews with everyday people. We just show up. Some days you'll just be on Facebook and be like, boom, episode dropped. We're live right now. I kind of like that with interviews. I don't like planning ahead like, hey, be prepared for next Tuesday. Right. We're going to do an episode. I just drop it.
Yeah.
I just drop it. Like, hey, we're live.
That's why you got to subscribe, so you're always the first to know.
Exactly. I love that. Love it, love it. But, yeah, we're coming back better than ever. Maybe have some new intro music for Interviews with Everyday People. Maybe a new logo for Interviews with Everyday People and Tornado Tag. So we have a lot of cool stuff coming. Thank you all for the support. If you can, go check out those other shows on our network. Truth Behind Illusion is like paranormal, spooky, ghosts, goblins, conspiracies, a lot of fun stuff. I want to do a crossover with Truth Behind Illusion and Murder My Dude, like do a murder episode.
Yeah.
And maybe have you guys on to promote your old episode and kind of do like a Murder My Dude inspired Truth Behind Illusion.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we can, the same episode, you can just take a play on your thing and we'll do like a vice versa thing. We have a new podcast coming as well. More details on that coming soon, but there is another wrestling podcast coming to our network. Very excited to bring aboard another wrestling podcast.
Oral Sessions with Noah.
Oh my God, I wish. I'm obsessed with that podcast. But I think that's all I have to cover. Also, I don't have the list in front of me. I am driving, but thank you to our people who support us on Patreon. There's five of you. I forget all your names. I apologize. I'm having a brain fart. But if you are on the Patreon, we are thinking of ways to hook you guys up with some stuff, with maybe some bonus content. The bonus content, I pretty much made a post to everybody like, hey, do you want bonus content or are you just here for general support? And for the most part, everyone said, we're just here for general support. Like, we don't really need the bonus content. It's $1. It's $5. Our link tree, there's a donation if you want to throw a donation. If you want to buy some merchandise, we changed our whole merchandise store up. So if you want T-shirts, all the T-shirts will be on TeePublic. There will be some shirts unless TeePublic, for some reason, like our Scooby-Doo's parody, right. I cannot put it up there.
Oh,
it will not let me post it. It says it's copyright infringement, even though it's clearly not. So some T-shirts will still be on Public. Teespring, but all of our shirts will be on TeePublic, as well as pillows, tapestries, hoodies, long sleeves. You can do premium, regular shirts. All that will be there. The Big Cartel will have our hats. And then our Teespring will be mostly like fanny packs and glassware and water bottles and stuff that you can't get anything else. So I don't want to put the same merchandise on two different stores.
Right.
So we're going to try to be like, each one has things. If you want to go check it out, you can go support and buy that. We also have the IWEP Network Street Team. If you want to join us, be a moderator at any of our pages and post content, share our episodes and help us grow. We're looking for people to join our street team. Search on Facebook, IWEP Network Street Team. Send a request, we'll get you in. Pretty much all we're asking you to do is just be help us with the word of mouth. It does, and we're looking to make a special limited edition T-shirt that will only be available to the people on the Street Team page. So if you want a special T-shirt that only you can order, and at a very, very cheap price, pretty much I'm going to make it so I don't even make money on it, just so you guys can have it. That will be available as well. But thank you guys so much for the continued support. This is Tornado Tag Podcast. Here's some Billy Trey. It's getting dark. We're out of here.